Trap face of us, a drop of hat, because Sir Hank holds your hat and I'll preach anyway. Fella don't want to preach, ain't to be a preacher. I sort of take a look at that fella. I don't know what's wrong with him. I don't think he's quite the preacher he thinks he is. Amen? I've never seen time. I love to preach, didn't want to preach, ran from it, tried to tell everybody else to do it, and they could, much better than I do. But once I got into it, I sure do love being a preacher. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know of anything else I'd rather be than a preacher.
Amen.
I used to think I want to be a truck driver, so I got to be a preacher. Then I thought I want to be a preacher. Amen? But here tonight, if you have your Bible, turn with us just a short verse of Scripture. It's one verse, if the Lord be willing, for our text tonight. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, Paul writing to Timothy. Now, Timothy, Paul was writing to Timothy. When you look at the book of Timothy, you have to look like a father counseling his son, or a father instructing his son. But that's how Paul looked at Timothy. He was that son, that gospel son, that he would have liked to have had. And there he would counsel him and instruct him in many things. So here, Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, amen means let it be so. Amen? So that's what Paul says, let it be so. Church, I hope and pray tonight as we as Christians, we can say with Paul, amen, let it be so. I like that night. It's the one thing, Lord, to be willing. I try to preach. I don't know how good it is or bad. You'll have to judge that. But the only true king. Now, you know, with Israel, they had a king and did not even realize it. A king of glory, the king of all kings, the king of kings and kings. Wrote on his fetter, King of kings and Lord of lords. But yet they wanted an earthly king. They wanted a king that would take their riches. They wanted a king that would rob their land. They wanted a king that would take their sons and daughters and enslave them in servitude. God told Samuel exactly, tell him exactly what a king's going to be. And he did. He said, "Oh, still, give us a king like all the other nations."
Amen.
And he did. He said, "Oh, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me." And that's what the world's still doing today, church. They're still rejecting Jesus. They're still rejecting God. They're still not wanting him to be King of kings and Lord of lords.
That's right, brother.
But tonight I tell you he is. I look at a few aspects or attributes of God tonight. We see a king eternal.
Yeah.
God is not, he's always been and always will be.
Yes.
He's the only one tonight. It said only one who can give eternal life is one that is eternal. Amen?
Amen,
I can promise you a lot of things, but the only one that can really give you what he says he's going to give you is someone who possesses what he says he's going to give away.
Amen.
Now God, as I said, if I look over this world and what I know of it, God's the only one I can see that seems to be eternal. Men come and go. Our mortal flesh will live and die. But God, who is, will always be.
Amen.
Amen.
I tell people, I say, if you don't get Genesis 1 and 1, you can forget getting the rest of the Bible.
That's right.
You don't figure up right up front, he's God, and above him there's none other. You can just quote your Bible, because you'll never understand it. Amen?
Right.
Till you realize he is exactly who he said he is. He said, "I'm God. I'm God." Like I said, when I asked Jesus, I said, "Tell him I am." If you have to understand, study the Old Testament. That's why a lot of people can't understand the New Testament. They want to study the Old Testament. Amen?
Amen.
The New Old Testament is that schoolmaster to the New Testament. Gives life to the New Testament many times. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, use the lips of clay. Unless you say something, there'll be nothing said that'll be worth having. Unless you move in God, there'll be no real wisdom or knowledge or anything, be no exhortation, mean nothing, God, that will glorify Jesus Christ. Father, but I pray that you would move in, that your Holy Spirit would give us knowledge and understanding. Be one here tonight that's lost, that might be saved. One cold different might be drawn back. Those saved, God, would be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, now, thy will be done on earth in this service as it is in heaven. Now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, again, like I said, the only one that I know that can give eternal life or promise you eternal life is God. And that's why, we all know the verse of John 3:16, but I like John 3:15. It says the same thing. that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
Right.
Amen. God is the only one, I say, that can make that promise. No one else I know can make the promise to a lost man that's dead already. They're not waiting to die. That's what some sinners don't realize. They're not waiting to die. They're already dead in the eyes of God. And church, that's the only one that really counts. What you look like in the eyes of God is the only thing that really counts. Now, well, preacher, you're a pretty good sized fat fellow. Yes, I am. But what really matters is what I look like to God. And what God sees when he looks at me is a redeemed individual. Amen. A sinner that was dead that's been brought to life. A sinner that was dead, had nothing, but God said, I'm going to give you the gift of eternal life. Church, I'm so thankful tonight that God is the author or the king of eternity. Aren't you? I'm glad that God is, was, and always has been. Amen. He's not waiting. Now, a lot of people think, God, we react to things. God does not react to anything. God sets all things in motion. Amen. The Bible said there's nothing that God doesn't know, like Brother David has said.
Right.
So if I'm going to trust in someone, I want to trust in someone who has eternal life.
Right.
I want to trust someone who is able to lay down his life and then pick it up. Amen. I've never met a man other than that. I've never even heard of another man that could do that. Have you?
Right, brother.
That's why the Bible is so alive tonight, because the Savior's alive. Amen. That's why we have, I don't believe in the living Bible, but my Bible is alive. Amen.
Amen.
I have a Bible that just is alive today, or real today, as it was when it was first printed. Amen. Church, that's the good part. This Bible is old. Amen. But it's just as new as anything that ever was.
Right, amen.
It's good. It'll tell you exactly what to do with your life. It'll tell you exactly how to live your life. If you don't follow the instructions, don't blame God. Hey, preacher, I want a blessed life. Then you do what God says. Live for God. Hey, preacher, I want to be successful. Then if you do, let God lead, guide, and direct you, and you will be successful. Amen.
Right,
you'll have more than you ever thought you could have. You'll be able to accomplish more than you ever thought you could accomplish.
Right, brother.
How do you know that? Because God, who cannot lie, said so. You know what God wants for you tonight? God wants what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you might think you know what's best for you. You might think, well, I've got it all figured out, preacher. I've got this plan. I know it's what's best. God might say, no, that's not the way.
Right.
Amen? I had a plan. Like I said, I plan on being a truck driving all over this country. But God had another plan. God let me drive a truck, but it just wasn't all over the land. Amen? It's just over this little part of the land. But that's what I'm saying. God doesn't care for you to do what you want to do as long as you do what he tells you to do.
Right.
What he tells you to do. He said, he told us very simply. God told us exactly. You know, a lot of people say, well, how do I know what God wants me to do? I'll tell you exactly what God wants you to do. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus.
Yep.
Now, that's hard, isn't it? That's exactly what God wants. Hey, when you pick up your cross and you begin to follow Jesus, God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost are going to lead you exactly the way they want you to go.
Right.
We just have a problem of following, church. It's not that God's not leading. It's not that God's not wanting to guide and direct your life. It's just that you and I have a problem following God.
Amen, right. Brother. That's right.
Church, that's what's wrong. He says here in the 10th chapter of the book of John, in the 10th verse, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. Let me tell you now, a lot of people say, well, there's a lot of things. Well, like Brother David said this morning, there's only two things in this world. That's God and the devil. Everything else is really not very relevant. Because the devil is the prince and the power of this hour.
Right
now, God's letting him have his day. Amen?
Yes.
God said, well, people say, well, if the devil's bound, I don't want to hear him when he gets loose.
That's right.
You can have it. I hope God's already taken me home when he turns him loose, if he's not loose.
Amen.
But he said here, I am. Now listen, church, the words. The other one, he said, kill, destroy, and devour. But here it said, I am. Now who is I am?
Jesus.
See, God, Moses said, Lord, who do I tell these people down here in captivity that are suffering and in misery and having all this hardship? Who do I tell them that sent me? He told them, say, I am sent you.
Right.
Well, let me tell you tonight, I am came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
That's what he came for. He came for one purpose, and that was to give you life. He came for no other reason. He didn't go to the cross for any reason but to give you life. He didn't go to the cross to become king. He was already king.
Amen. Right, brother.
He didn't have the time to go to the cross to have eternal life. He already had it. Hey, you ever notice what he said? Jesus laid down his life.
Yep.
See, he had power. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to pick it up. No one else has ever had that power but God. That's why I don't care how long he had sat on that cross. If he hadn't gave up the ghost, they would have never killed Jesus. Now get that down, church. Well, that's not true, preacher. Well, that's what the Bible says. How can you kill the author of life? How do you think you could ever put an end to the author of eternal life?
Amen.
See, church, that's why he said, and he laid down his life. Father, into thy hands I command. Hey, there's no, the devil could not take Jesus Christ's soul.
That's right.
Amen. He couldn't lay no chance. Just like, you ever realize about the story of Job? Look at the story of Job. The devil was willing to just do anything and everything he could to Job. But he couldn't do a thing to Job until God said he could.
That's right, amen.
I don't care what's going on in your life tonight, church. If you realize who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you'll be a lot better off and your life will become a lot better. Now see, if you know what's wrong with most Christians, they've never figured out who God is. Who is God, preacher? Well, he's that being up there somewhere in the heavens. That's God. No, he said, I'm here. I'm alive. He said, God made a promise. He's not up there just in the heavens, sitting on the King, the throne of glory. He said, I'll be with you. The third person of God, when Jesus said, I go away, it's needful. Why was it needful for him to go away? It was needful. He said, I know it's good for me to be here with you. I can take care of you. But he said, it's needful that I go away. Why? Because he was going to send a comforter. I'll send you a comforter. Hey, Jesus, he was with people. But when he was in that bodily form, he's like you and I, church. He could only be in certain places at certain times.
Yep.
But see, in that spiritual form, in that form of what we call the Holy Ghost, he's eternally present with us. See, there's that word eternal again. We have an eternal presence of Jesus Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit leading us with us every day.
Amen.
I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will. How does he go with you? Through the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Hey, the Bible said the Spirit makes it utter to you that you can't even pray. Well, how would he know how to pray for you unless he knew what you were doing? Someone has to take, Brother Dave can say, I'm going to pray for you. Well, Brother Dave don't know what my needs are. How can he pray for me? You know, that's what I'm saying, church. If somebody don't tell you really what they need, you can't pray for them. Now, when people tell you, you can begin to pray for them then because you know what their need is. That's the same way the way the Holy Spirit follows you day by day. So it'll know what your needs are, so it'll know how to pray for you. See, church, God has every aspect of your life covered, whether you realize it or not.
Amen.
God's not this haphazard ping pong ball somewhere bouncing around. God had a journey, and he set a journey for you, and he set a journey for us.
That's right.
That's why the Bible said, you know what God told Israel? I told somebody a while ago. God told Israel, he said, if you'll keep my statutes, you keep my commandments.
Yep.
See all these plagues, is plaguing all these other countries and all these nations, they'll never be upon me.
That's right.
God told a man.
He
kept his promise. If you don't believe me, study the Old Testament, see. Not till Israel began to walk away from God was they ever plagued by the plagues that were around them.
Right.
They didn't have diseases like they had. They didn't have infirmities like they had. Only when they allowed sin to come into Israel was there plagues upon them. Why do you think the Bible says in heaven there'll be no tears? That's why you sang that song, sis. There'll be no tears. He said there'll be no pain. Why? Why won't there be any pain? Why won't? Because God says he will not be. Why? When Israel not have God. When God said it, I'll say it again, church, is forever settled in the heavens.
That's right, amen, man.
That's why God is King of eternity. He's
amen.
That eternal King. He's not waiting to become the King. He is the eternal King.
That's right.
And he's willing to give you eternal life.
Amen.
See, if he didn't have eternal life, he couldn't give you eternal life.
That's right.
He said that because what? You were dead. He said, I'm alive, and I'm alive forevermore. We read the birds, we don't understand. He said, I'm alive forevermore. Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas, how long? How many times did Jesus say to them, how long have I been with you? Do you not understand?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, church, man is pretty easily confused, isn't he?
Yeah.
But here we have two promises that I've just read, simple scriptures I've read tonight, that I'll instill in you that you have eternal life. that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life, because he is the possessor of eternal life. He said here, and I am come that they might have life. Might have life, and not just have life. Listen, God doesn't want you just to be saved and have life. You know, a lot of Christians think, well, I'm saved, and that's all that matters. I'm just, hey, God wants you to have an abundant life. You know what abundant life means? That you walk with God, and he's going to open the door treasures of heaven, and he's going to pour a blessing that you cannot contain. How do you know that? Because that's what God said. Not what the preacher said. That's what thus saith the Lord. Church, it says that God, it says it's not in the hearts of men or the minds of men what good things God has in store for those that love him.
That's right, amen.
Hey, a father that has a child that's a good child and he does what, church, that father wants to reward that child. That's why God made the relationship with God and him, you and I, as a father-son relationship. Because a father wants to reward a son that is obedient. That's why the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Because obedience for God can open the windows of heaven and just begin to pour out the blessings and let them roll. And church, if the church would just get where they were obedient and the blessings begin to roll out there in the world and they see you getting blessed, they'll begin to want part of it.
Man, amen.
When you walk around like a mule that's been eating lard, they're not going to want much of it. I wouldn't. Man, if all I had once I was some soured up, drawed up, bitter old Christian, I wouldn't want it either, would you?
Right.
I'm glad I had a lot of them lively Christians in my life when I was young. I mean, they'd get up and shout and run around the aisles and throw their babies up. I mean, finally, hey, I tell you what, church, when it comes time, I wanted some up.
That's right.
Now, I thought about it and raised on it. You know, brother so-and-so over there, he ain't worth a day. He threw a gunpowder tape to blow him up. Old sister so-and-so over here, she ain't nothing but a busybody. Amen. Church, that's what the Bible says. You're not to devour one another. You're to help one another.
That's right.
See, we've got this thing all wrong. We got it all mixed up. Well, I thought I'd throw to put my foot on him and tell him I knew he'd fail.
Yeah.
You preached something that's very true this morning, Brother Dave. We need to quit just getting people saved. We need to disciple people.
That's right.
Disciples. You know, Jesus didn't just call Peter, James, and John and say, hey, go preach. Did he?
Mm-mm. That's right.
Said he walked with him for 3 years, right?
Yeah.
And what was he doing during that time? He was teaching them. He was instructing them. He was telling them what, because he was giving them what the Holy Spirit could bring back to their remembrance. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Church, when you need it, God will bring it back to your remembrance. But if you never put anything in, it's like the old saying, if the junk goes in, junk comes out. That's what we are. We're really
that's
walking
right.
Computers.
Amen, brother.
What do you think they got the concept for computers? The human mind. That's funny, isn't it? Then, church, we have this eternal, the King eternal. Then he goes to King immortal. Who else tonight can offer you immortality? Oh, I know there's a lot of people promising, oh, we're going to find the fountain of youth. But funny thing, I see more people dying than I do living.
Yep.
I look over us, and every time I look at you, you look like you got a little older than me. And I'm sure I look the same way to you. If I don't, maybe you need to get your glasses checked. I don't need to see my every time I look in the mirror, I ask my wife, I say, who is that guy that's getting so old? Where did he get all that gray hair? And how come all his hair seems to be leaving? I don't know about you, but I don't look the same like I used to look. She said, well, I said, well, honey, if you look, I don't look like I used to look either.
Yeah,
so we both got the same problem, haven't we? Gravity, yeah. They call it. Church, only a mortal God can give you immortality. No one else, there's not going to be a bottle or a fountain of youth. There is a fountain of youth, but it's called salvation.
That's right.
It's called being born again. And that which was dead is made alive. And it would, hey, church, I'll get a new body. See, this is a deal worth having.
That's right.
That's why the Bible says, hold on. I like that. The Bible says, hold on to the horns of the altar. Why? Because there's better things coming, church.
Amen.
That's coming. Hold on.
That's right.
It says, now here, church, and read several first scriptures. This is all. I don't have anything new. If you look at anything new, you might as well go home, but I don't have anything new. But I got some scripture here I want to show you tonight about the immortal God. What he's going to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I said just about everybody probably knows. Just read their Bible where I'm going. Chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Right.
Neither does corruption inherit incorruption.
Right.
Now these people say, oh, you get saved the way you want to, you better tell them, hey, I think you've missed the mark.
That's right.
But that ain't what this said. So incorruption does not inherit incorruption. Listen to the word. Don't hear what people say. Thus saith the Lord is what can't. So I can get up here and I can tell you anything. It might be a total lie. If you can't back it up with this Bible, you know what y'all do with my message now? Take it and throw it in file 13.
Yeah.
That's what I tell you to do with it. If you can't take the scripture, the word of God, and back up what I say, don't believe it. It's a lie.
Amen.
But he said here, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Hey, we all have to experience the exchange of this body, whether it's in a natural thing or it's in a moment of a twinkling eye, a change in a moment. That's still the body dying in an instant and picking up a new body, just like that. We all have to die, church. We're all going to church. Well, you still have to die. What do you think that translation is, church? It's a dead, sinful body that cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, being dropped and the Holy Spirit being set free and your spirit being set free, and then God gives you a brand new body and injects that spirit and that spirit of God in you and your body will spirit in it and you become again a living creature like unto the Son of God. People don't realize what's going on in this transformation, church. God one day knocked you. This whole body couldn't stand heaven. It can barely stand here.
That's right.
I don't know about yours. I can only speak of this one. I said this old body. I didn't say your body. I said this one. He said here, I'm glad I'm getting a brand new one. You can have the old one if you want it. I'm getting a brand new one. I'm getting one just like Jesus. Whatever Jesus is, I'm going to get it. Just like
yep.
You can have what you want, but I want that one just like Jesus. He said here, behold, I show you the mystery. He said in chapter 15, verse 50, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's that dropping of the body I'm talking about. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, where the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise first, right, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See, church, that body that's laying out there in the grave. My sister-in-law that I heard, I used this a little bit there in the funeral the other night. Brother David's there, he understands. But church, I told him, we're planting her, but there's going to be a change one day take place. Maybe there's going to be something happen to this mama. She's going to get a brand new body. Hey, I saw pictures of that funeral home of her I'd never seen. I wouldn't have recognized her if I'd have seen her look like that. Never seen her look like that. But one day I will, I believe.
Yeah.
She'll be young and youthful again. She wasn't young and youthful when me and my wife got married. My wife's siblings were much older than she was. They were 12 of them, so you realize the line of lineage going down gets a little long sometimes. Hey, she had nephews that was older than her. Amen? She said, that's my nephew. And I said, well, how old? He said, well, back then he said, he's 30. I said, well, honey, you ain't 30. He said, she's still my nephew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Church, let me tell you. I mean, yeah, but her nephew was older than she was. That's why I said, well, but isn't that supposed to be the other way around? And the older one's supposed to be the aunt and the nephew? It doesn't work that way. But anyway, this old corruption is going to change one day. Well, this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Now, if you want, this is what you want, these people want, you can have my part. I don't want this. I want that eternal life. I want that eternal salvation. I want that eternal body. I want that which God has in store for me. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know, church. It's a package deal. God doesn't change. It's all in one, you know? I like that. I got one in prison that says all in one. Amen? Sometimes I can't figure out what all in one means, but it's all in one. Well, I got the all in one deal from God.
Yeah.
Everything I need, God's given me. Everything I need, God's supplying. Every need I have, God is willing to give me.
That's
if
right.
I will live what He says. Mm-hmm. Like I said, church, I believe this. The other thing I change, it's not just victory in this here, it's victory in that life here too. It says, so when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen.
God swallowed up the penalty of death to you one day, just swallow it up in victory. Hey, you know what happens? When I get victory today, I leave this walk of life, whether it's in the natural death, or it's in that spiritual change in the air, I'm still going to get victory over death. I've cheated death, and so have you, church. You have cheated it. You do not have to die. The Martha, don't you realize I am the resurrection. Amen. Oh, I know, Lord. I know, Martha. Martha, I am the resurrection.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
We Christians think, I'm not waiting to get resurrected. I have been resurrected. I was dead. And he has made me alive. Ephesians, I believe it is too, isn't it, Brother Dave? Ye which were dead in sins and trespasses, he made alive. He's already resurrected you. Amen. Only thing you're going to do is to change an old dead body for a living one.
That's right.
That's right.
Dying body. It says, oh, death. Death is swallowed up in victory. And it goes on, chapter 15, verse 15. Oh, death, where is thy sin? Oh, grave, where is thy death? Hey, church, I believe to a Christian that really trusts Jesus, the sting of death has been removed.
Amen.
I mean, when it comes, you're going to be ready. I believe God, hey, I don't believe God just gives living grace. I believe God gives dying grace.
That's right, amen.
God didn't just give me grace I could live with. God gave me a grace that I could die with. Right. Church, I don't have to worry about that old death angel. Why, he's right on my trail. He's on your trail. He's been on my trail since the day I first said, old doctor slapped me and I went, wah! He started on my trail.
Right, amen.
He would have killed me right then if he could have.
Right.
But he's been on my trail ever since. One day, if God does, if lets time go, he's going to catch me. I'll grant you he's going to get me. But that's all right. All he's going to get is a dead old body that's done been thrown away by God.
Right.
Nothing alive. Good clue. He said, oh, death, the grave, the victory, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Hey, that's why those people just kept putting it off and putting it off. They did have to put it off. They had to put it off religion. Put it off the next year. Just put it off. Hey, church, we don't have to have. We don't have put off religion. We have eternal salvation.
Amen.
They put off. They were there and put off their sins. And they put off their sins. But praise God what you got. When you got an eternal, immortal God, you got a God that gave you eternal life the moment he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Amen. That's right.
He said, you defeated death that day. The law was no longer written against you. The hand that would say, written, guilty, guilty, was now saying, saved, 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 written in blood on the Lamb's Book of Life. Saved, 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 victory in Jesus. Church, you're saying it, but you don't understand what you're saying.
Amen.
Victory in Jesus. You have victory in Jesus. You have a victory over death, hell, and the grave.
Amen.
You said here, but thanks be to God. Why should I trust an eternal God, immortal God? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Glory be to God. That's what I said, church. The old timers used to get up and shout. Man, you preach like this, they'd be running all over the church.
Yeah.
We're too wore out today. Well, preacher, you want me, hey, if God tells you, shout, don't shout. But if he don't, sit still. But I'm telling you, we used to have more than just emotions, church.
Right.
If all I do is work up your emotions, we're in sad shape. Now, I'm glad, I'm not saved because of my emotions, but I'm glad every once in a while I get a little bit beside me.
Hallelujah.
Now, me and myself, church, I'd like to just sit over there, twinkle down, come in, leave, never be seen. That's me. Now, I know you don't believe that, but it's true. That's why the teacher said, I don't believe he could ever be a preacher. All he wants to do is hide in somewhere under one of the desks. In high school, teenager, I'd hide under the desk if I could. When she called on me, I'd crawl down under. Not me. He's not here today. Church, I'm telling you, God says, I want to give you something. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, the only victory I have tonight is Jesus.
Amen.
People say, I'm good. Well, I have to bring, well, I'm sorry, I'm not good. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Right, amen.
Wish I was good. Wish I could get up here tomorrow night and say, oh, I'm good, but I'd be a biggest liar I'd ever hit in Knoxville.
Yep. Right, brother.
Hey, without Jesus, I'm nothing but a corruptible individual. Hey, without Jesus, the devil would plow me down, plant me, and then hope I'd sprung up so he could do it again.
Yep.
Church, that's how God is, the old devil is. He's not satisfied just hitting you once. He wants to hit you again. But I have, thanks be to God. I have something to thank God for. I have victory tonight.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about death. I'm afraid of the sting of death, but not of sin and what death brings. Hey, after that, man, he got nothing. Hey, once that thing hit, it'll never be. We won't even go there. Let me tell you something. I believe it was one of you fellas said, well, if you think I'm, when do you see me then? There was a blanket out there at her, my sister-in-law's funeral. I'd seen it before, but I'd never sat and read it. If you ever see one, read it. Wait till you see me now. I wish you could see me now. Yeah, there's a whole different side of what the devil wants to plant to you about death. That, but that woman hit it on the head that put that little poem on that. I wish you could see me now. Wish you could see me running around the throne of glory. Wish you could see me with a smile on my face. Wish you could see me shouting glory. I wish you could see me. I wish people could see me into heaven for just a little bit. Hey, Paul, I believe that's what charged Paul up. That's what made Paul say, oh, I've got to get out there and preach. I've got to get out there and preach. He'd seen heaven, church. He got called up to the third heaven. He said, well, there ain't nobody, nobody, no doubt, but I saw a man. He saw the man, Christ Jesus, amen. And church, he couldn't wait to get back, amen. Church, Paul had a zeal to go home and die. He had a zeal. He said, oh, I want to go home and be with Jesus. But it's me when I stay and preach the gospel. So you, this people in Knoxville, Tennessee, up there in 2017, can hear somebody preach victory in Jesus.
Amen. Amen, brother.
King of kings, Lord of lords. Church tonight, would you say thanks be to God, which giveth me the victory? Or you, woe is me. Victory, you just don't know how it is. No, I don't, but God does. I don't know how it is, but I know how God wants it to be.
Uh-huh.
You know how God wants it to be in your life? It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen.
That's how God wants it to be. I don't know how it is, but I know how God wants it to be. I don't know whether you're lame, but He wants it to be.
Yes.
Well with your soul.
That's right.
It is well. Church, that's a true song. It is well with a Christian soul.
Yeah.
My body might be racked with pain. I might lose everything I have tomorrow, but it is well with my soul. If all I had was, what would you call it, prosperity, salvation, I'd get me some real stuff.
That's right.
Amen? Because none of us a problem is prosperity. Mm-mm. Hey, you ever thought about Job? He lost everything in a day. Wasn't a week, an hour, a month. He lost it in a day. Man, could you imagine your life folded down on you in one day? Would you have what Job had? Yea, though the skin worms devour this body, yet with these eyes see God. Job had the real stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, he had the real McCoy. That's why God said, Satan, hey, see, God knew Job. Glory. God knew Job. I don't think he's ever looked at Robinson, have you? But he said, well, we're working on him. Maybe before he gets out of here, we can't tell you. But he looked at Job. You know what he saw in Job? He saw a man committed. He saw
right,
a man that
amen.
Knew he had victory in Jesus, and he didn't even hadn't seen Jesus.
Right.
You ever thought about that, church? You know what the Bible says? And they looked through a glass darkly. They looked to a place whose builder and maker was God. Could you imagine as Abraham walked around out there in the desert, and he got to looking up into the heavens, and God let him catch a little glimpse of glory. And that's why Abraham said they didn't look for a city built down here. They looked for a city who God was building. He gave them a little glimpse of glory, church, a little glimpse. Gave Paul a little, hey, you want to find out what we're getting a glimpse of God's glory to do? Just think about being like Abraham. Read a man about a man like Job. Read a man about Paul. Paul said, man, I was left three times dead. I mean, they thought they stoned me to death. They done pulled up, piled up the rock and figured I was done for. But God said, nope, not yet.
Right.
Not today, Satan. Now,
amen.
Church, I believe that to be literal. Not a, what would they call it? What do they call them? I'm looking for the word now. Not a parable, but literal. They took him out. They gathered them stones. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And I bet when they was hitting him, he thought they were literal. Church, just like when the old devil throws stones at you, you know they're literal.
Yeah.
They're real. They're not just a parable.
Right.
It means he's coming at you with everything he's got. And the only hope you have that you can bunker down under the cross of Calvary till the star passes by.
Mm-hmm.
Because, oh, victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus.
Amen.
When the storm passes by. A thou King invisible. Now listen, church. He's only invisible to those who cannot see him spiritually. To everyone else, God is invisible. He cannot be seen. But to those, if you tell me that you've been saved, now I'm not saying you saw the picture of God, but I believe you saw God in some form or fashion.
Amen.
God said He reveals Himself unto His children. Now, God, I haven't seen God. I haven't, but I have seen him in my spirit. I have spiritually seen. Hey, they used to sing a song, I loved it. I think, remember it says, I can say I've been to Calvary. I've been to Calvary through the witness of his word.
That's right.
I've never been to Calvary. I've never been on the Lord. But through his word, I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord.
Amen.
Through his word. Amen. See, that's how 90% of the people will see God, through his word.
That's right.
Church, when I tell people they want to see God, I say, pick up your Bible. Take a good look at your Bible. You ever took a good look at your Bible? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying, church. You ever just taken? I don't know about you, the most precious thing I own is this word.
That's right, brother.
I mean, I love my wife. She's what God gave me. She was that next possession after Christ. But this church, I don't lay anything. Nothing goes on top of my Bible. Nothing. It's a great mistake if anything ever lands up on the top of my Bible. This is the word of God.
Yeah.
This is Jesus Christ. And I'm laying nothing on my Savior. There was enough laid on him that I gave him the care of Calvary, let alone me putting anything on this word that isn't folks that's above it. Mm-hmm. Nothing goes on top. I lay it down on things, but nothing will ever be laid on top of my Bible. Why? Because I count this to be sacred. That's why I stand strong about the King James Bible. Well, he said, well, what do you want to do? Well, God said, no, freely have you received, freely give. And the only book you can publish and freely give is this one right here. Only thing it costs you is a paper and whatever you bind it with. You'll pay nobody a royalty for it. But every one of the others you will. You'll pay somebody a percentage of what you get because they have royalties. See, God gave a book that nobody owned the royalty on. Which one do you think God will give? Freely have you seen? Freely give. I think God give the free one, what he said.
Yeah.
That's my own personal opinion. I've not been proved wrong yet, I don't think. Let's quickly hurry along. Only an invisible God. He's visible to those who can see spiritually. Now, if you really want to see God, I want to know God. I want to know God. Hey, God will let himself be revealed to you. Hey, Moses wanted to see God.
Yes, he did.
Did he not? God, I want to see you. Well, God knew Moses in his finite body couldn't stand to see God. He would have just consumed away.
Yeah.
But Moses said, God, I want to see you. He said, Moses, you couldn't stand. But I'll let you just see the hind. You just see what it looked like when I'm going way past you. Moses, even that. Even all that Moses saw was nothing but the hind part of God.
Yeah.
Come down off a mountain glowing.
Yep.
Pretty glowed, church. Do you need the Old Testament? Do you hear the word? It said he glowed.
That's right.
God makes the atomic bomb look like a pale piece of rubble laid beside the road. Moses glowed when he came out of the presence of God. Just seeing the backside of God. Just see what way down or somewhere. Moses can't even be destroyed. And I'll take my hand off and you'll see my train. And he glowed, church. He glowed. Quickly, he said, an invisible God. In 2 Peter 1 and 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind. What are they lacking? Spiritual aptitude. Too many people tonight are lacking spiritual aptitude in God's. That's why they can't see God. They have no vision because the Bible said without God there is no vision. Without a vision the people perish. What it's saying, without a vision of God, you'll perish.
That's right.
How could a preacher lead a church if he had no vision of God?
That's right.
How could a missionary draw people to the missionary into the field, into being saved, he had no vision for God doing so.
That's right, amen.
That's why the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Or if they're just mama sent and daddy sent, put down to the college and educated. Church, I believe in calling. I believe God calls men into the
amen.
Ministry. I didn't want to go. God called me. He called me and called me. I kept saying, no, God. No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I'm telling church, I love preaching more than anything else in my life. But when I didn't want to do it. I had nothing to do with it. God, I got a plan for my life. I don't have nothing to make. There's no place that fits into my life. God, I don't want to do it. So-and-so will be much better at it. I'll be a deacon. Why, yeah, I'll be a deacon. I'll be a Sunday school, Lord. I'll tweak the parking lot for you, Lord. Just don't ask me to be a preacher. You know, God didn't argue with me. He didn't do anything, but he gave me a vision. My life was lost. kept telling God, I said, well, I can't preach when the wife is lost, Lord. God took care of that. No problem, Ross. God don't have, like, I couldn't put anything in God's way. He couldn't move. So he come down one night while I was still in that church, and he grabbed my wife. He saved her. I went home, and she says, I know she's different, a little quieter than usual. She's quiet. So her to be real quiet than usual, man, that was scary. She said, Ross, I said, yeah. She said, you have to go to church to be saved. I said, no. She said, I got saved. I got saved here at the house. Ooh, glory. A few weeks later, this old ignorant boy was sitting in church. You know, he thought he done had it made. God saved his wife. He slipped off. God hadn't done it. He had about being a preacher. Thought I had it made, man. Thought I'd done slipped under the wire. God saved my wife, and I didn't have to be a preacher. Then that Sunday morning, a few weeks after she was saved, I'm sitting on the pew of the church. Who God is alive. This dead God that everybody else said, but he's alive. He was to me. He pat me on the shoulder and said, hey, Ross, what's your excuse, son? Here she is. Redeemed. What's your excuse, Lord, boy? I said, Lord, don't have one. Went up that morning and said, well, if God will let me, I'll be called to preach. And tried to ever see. But God, see, he didn't fight with me. He didn't argue with me, but he was God. He didn't care what I throw in front of him. He could move it. He said, and by the Bible, old preacher, I might have told you this. I like to tell this story. I had an old preacher, and I went to him and said, well, I thank the Lord. He didn't say, oh, Bill, grab me up, drag me down, and put me in a pulpit. Didn't do that. He looked at me and said, no, boy, if God wants you to preach, you'll preach. That's all he said. I mean, it was years, probably a year or so after that. But he said, yeah, the Lord wants you to preach, you'll preach. I didn't understand what he was telling me at the time. Because he's saying, God's God, Brother Ross. And if he wants something, he will have it, or he'll put you in your grave one. But you, it'll be one way or the other. Hey, God told me that day. He said, this is it, one way or the other. What are you going to do? Preach or die. You just take and make your choice. I said, well, Lord, I really don't want to die. So I guess I'll preach. Like I said, I guess some of you are wondering why in the world did God call him. I do too. The church, it says here, they lack this, they lack these things. They cannot see afar off and have been forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. You know what's wrong with too many Christians today? We lack things. We lack the attitude of God in our life. That means the presence of God, church. You know, everybody wants to be saved. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Even sinners that are not saved want to get saved and go to heaven eventually, like the song said, one day too late. But see, church, doesn't matter what you want. It's what God wants. Mm-hmm. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Right. Come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Church, you know when to be saved? When God tells you it's time to be saved.
Amen.
You know when it's time to listen to God? When he says, I want to talk to you. Well, God don't talk to me. Yeah, I think he talks to everybody. I don't think I'm that special. Man, do I look like that? I'd be that special to God that you say, oh, God's talking to him and he's not talking to me. I'd probably look and say, well, I don't know if God could talk to him or not. You walk around with me while you'd really scratch your head and say, well, why in the world would God even want to talk to him? I'm telling you, church, God wants to speak to you.
That's right.
Amen. God don't want the preacher telling you anything. You know, the only thing God called preachers to do was preach the gospel so sinners might be saved. Everything else, God doesn't leave up to the preacher. Nothing else does God leave up to a preacher, but just preaching the gospel that souls might be saved. The leadership of the church is not left up to the preacher. It's left up to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit only has one job that'll do. It will lead you to Jesus Christ, and it will teach you about Jesus Christ. If it's doing anything else, it's not the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
But Isaiah, about our vision, well, your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
Amen.
The way God sees things is not the way you see them.
That's right.
He said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You're never out of God, and you'll never get too lofty in your thinking that you'll be above God. Church, the true king. You know what God wants to be in your life? King. Just like he wanted to be king of Israel.
That's right.
You know what most Christians are saying? We'll not have him be our king. We'll not have him rule over us. We'll not have him tell me what to do. We'll not have him tell me where I'll go. Don't be so hard on Israel, church. If you're telling God the same thing, I'll not have you be my God. You're not an invisible God that can see everything I'm doing. You're not immortal. You're not eternal. And every time you disobey God, that's what you're saying to God, whether you like it or not.
Right.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. God doesn't want to have to tell you I forgive you. He'd rather say, I want to bless you. I want to open the windows of heaven. I want to pour out a blessing on you that you thought could never be. Church, God's given me more than I ever thought I'd have. He might take it all tomorrow, and that's fine. He's God. But I have more than I ever imagined I'd ever have in my life. A fine family. They're not perfect. Me and my wife, we look at them sometimes, our children say, how in the world we raise in the same house and the way they are? They're just like yours. They got their faults. But they probably look back at Daddy and say the same thing. Wish he was half as good as he thought he was. We know you, Dad. Now, don't get me wrong. My children really never seen that much out of me, because when God saved me, he truly saved me. But I sure am glad my children never seen the guy that I was before God saved me. They'd run and hid like the baby, like the little boy behind the door. Daddy's coming home. Find a place to hide! No, they only knew me as a preacher. And I'm so thankful that God won that day before they were old enough to know anything about it. My boys only know, well, Daddy's only been a preacher. See, that's the way they think. Daddy's always been a preacher. Church, that's what I'm saying. That's one of God's gifts to me. My children don't know me. And I'm so thankful for it. I tell people that I meet that know me before thy children. I said, don't you tell my children what you know. You keep your mouth shut. Church, that's the way it is. When you meet people's kids and they don't know about what, you keep your mouth shut. You let them kids just think what they think of their daddy and their mama, and you leave it alone. But here's what God said. I'm God. I want you to have eternal life. I want you to realize that you've beaten death. You are immortal.
Right.
And I want you to know that I have a vision for you tonight. I've got a plan for you. My plan is not what you think it is. I never thought. Somebody told me when I was a younger, running around doing this and doing that. I'm going to be a preacher, man. I'd have laughed at him like they was a nut.
I would too.
I'd have said, huh? You've got to be crazy. But see, God is infinite vision and wisdom. Look down past a little boy getting saved. He was 14 years old. Still a little rusty. Still hadn't worked on it. Chip, chip, knock, knock, chip, chip, knock, knock, kick. At one point, I had kick start me. I don't know about you. But I'm glad God's willing to work on me.
Amen.
He hadn't touched. He'd done, he told me when and picked up the next piece.
Amen.
But what about your king? Who's really the king of your life? Who makes your decisions? Who decides where you go, what you do, what you say? Who you say it to? Does Jesus decide all that for you? Well, preacher, I'm running my own life. Seems to be doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm shipwrecked. Who are you going to blame? Why did God let this happen? How many times have you heard that, church? How people, you know they're going in the wrong direction. And then when it happens, they look and say, well, why did God let this happen? God didn't let it happen. You did. See, God's way was to take you around that shipwreck, put you in the shore of glory, put you into the house of glory when they say, you're at home. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's God's plan. I don't know what your plan is, but God's plan will be a whole lot different. See, what God's plan is well, this one over here will make, you know, I got down on my knees, and I'm trying to shut up. Truly, I am. I said, I want to get married. I don't know why. When I first met my wife, I told her I wasn't getting married. But I want to get married. So I went to see, don't pray for something unless you want it. So I told God, I said, Lord, I'd like to get married. I want to get married. Man, he brought this little old gal. I said, lost. She wasn't saved yet. See, God didn't get me in through time. And he put her and me together. Man, she sure got the short end of the stick. I got that, what do they call it? The rose petal, and she got the stems and the thorns and the thistles and the rotten that grows in. But I got the rose. Hey, 12 children. She had six sisters. I tell her, I said, I got the best one. I got the right one. Because the other wrestling, I'd have probably killed or they'd killed. You know what I'm saying? We just wouldn't have fit together. Me and her fit together. See, God made her. See, God wrote one day over a little while, she's going to pray for a wife. And God gave me exactly what I needed. Stood beside me through the thick and the thin. Told me when I'm acting like an idiot, don't you realize you're a preacher? The church, God has a plan. Are you willing to let him be king? Are you willing to throw off all your rags, surrender, and say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming home, Lord. I'm tired. I'm weary. I've made a mess mostly of it, but I'm coming home. I'm coming home. For the days who come, we pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us all to find that place called home. Home of the soul. With rest.